This is a Pinball News production.
And I keep seeing, I don't want it to get boring in the home. I want it to be deep. I want it to be, a lot of good rules. And I'm like, okay. And so that was kind of my thing, was like every mode with the ghosts, every mode does something different. So it's kind of unconventional. Like one problem we have is, the jump ramp, that can be difficult.
The jump ramp, it's a tough shot.
The next code update, if you make that jump ramp at during any mode, it'll count toward the theater ghost.
Oh, okay.
To make it easier to, light that.
Yeah.
Let me back up a little bit. I started the rules with what the ghosts were. No, actually, let me back up a little bit further. I started the rules with where the locations were. So I think about, okay, you have this ghost hunting reality TV shows, and I watch quite a few of them for research on the Netflix. And I'm like, we need to find the six locations are the six modes, right? And so we picked all these very typical places that, like, allegedly ghosts are.
Prison.
Yeah.
An abandoned hospital.
Yep. Then once we had the location, then we're like, okay, what ghost is there? And there were some differences, like the Civil War ghost. There's this ghost tale from, like, actually it might be in Georgia or someplace, but like this little girl got hit by a stray bullet or something, and then now she haunts this building. But I'm like, no, a little girl ghost, we don't want that. Let's make him a, jerk.
Confederate
yes,
jerk.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And then there's another, and the bellboy ghost. We were going to have a bellboy in a hotel, and he was going to be like in love with this starlet that stayed there. I'm like, no, let's make him a mass murderer. It's more interesting. Yeah, and actually that's Brian Kelly. I don't know if any of you guys know that guy. You probably know.
I know Brian. Yeah. Brian Effin Kelly.
Brian Effin Kelly, yeah. And so we basically the locations drove who the ghosts were, and then that kind of drove the rules. Like with the bar ghost, she's like we never actually call her a whore in the game, but we have like every other euphemism, like woman of the night or evening star or whatever they
loved
say.
By many.
Yes, soiled dove. She's called everything but that. But in all our conversations, like, yeah, KT, you okay to record the ghost whore dialogue this morning? Okay, all right, we're going to do that. Anyway, but in her case, she's like, okay, she's, she likes to, So she captures your friend, and he's like, oh, I'm going to get a spiritually transmitted disease. And the ball is captured there,
Yes. Yeah, actually.
He's captured in the morgue.
So if you don't know, you shoot in this mode, the bank of targets drops down. You shoot the ball, and it catches your ball, which represents your little friend.
And then the you ghost, have to release she's like him. Spooning your friend, like, hey, baby, I'm going to charge you for this. And we did run into a mistake where we didn't actually start out with the intention of having family mode. And we have had some people complain about it. I don't think we do go too far. Next game, we'll have a family mode. It's going to need one. No, Rob Zombie. It's a pretty violent stuff in those old stories. The locations drove the characters, and then the characters drove the modes, and then the ghost hunting characters basically react to it. You're like, we have like what? We have the team leader, we have the ditzy woman, the psychic woman, and the tech guy.
Yep.
So we basically slap them with whatever ghost would be the most diametrically opposed. So like the tech guy who's always like grumbling, he ends up with the ghost in the bar.
Yep.
The ditzy woman, interacts with the Confederate general. The psychic woman, who does she interact with? I forgot. Anyway, whatever would give us the best dialogue.
She's with the prison, right?
The prison? No, I think everyone gets trapped in the
prison.
Yeah,
they call those people.
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's brilliant. It's very brilliant the way you did it. I've had the game for a while now, and I've not seen it all. I still, every once in a while, look up and think, well, I haven't heard that call out before. How did you guys do all the voice work?
There's like 160 pages of script in the game, and we wrote it all out ahead of time, and we basically, I can't remember how many voices there are. There's probably at least 15 different voices in it. And, we would just, whenever the person was around, we would record them in my shop using, like, something kind of like this. Not very professional. And then we just edited it all together. So I think in total, including sound effects, there's over 1,100 speech calls and sound effects.
Wow.
Basically, every event, like, let's say a mode has three events in it, or three, like, doom, 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 like three stages of progress. Each one of those will have at least three different.
So you're talking nine for that little run of,
That's why you don't hear the same lines. I mean, they did it in the old days, too.
Sure. What about the music of the game? Where did the music come from?
I actually wrote it.
That was you, all of it.
Yeah.
You know, the main multi-ball song in the game is Ghost Squad. Kind of a throwback to the original.
I didn't write that.
You didn't write that.
Yeah, that was left over from an episode of our show. Because back in 2000, actually, where the idea for America's Most Haunted came from, or Ghost Squad, was we did an episode of the Ben Heck Show, the Halloween episode in 2011. We made a parody of ghost hunting TV shows. And they didn't like it because it had nothing to do with electronics. But we're like, you know what? This would be a good theme for a pinball machine. And that episode was called Ghost Squad. And that's actually where this idea came from. And then anyway, at the end of that episode, we had this, like, you know, my assistant's brother did like the go, go, go squad.
Yeah.
And it was so annoying, so I deliberately left it in, even though it makes no sense. We might replace it someday, but...
No, don't do that. Artwork. Talk about the artwork. Who did the back glass? Who did the... I obviously know the answer to this, but who did the play field?
The back glass was done by... Well, first back glass I did in Photoshop, and everyone hated it. I thought they would hate... This is interesting. I thought they would hate the fact that it was all green. But they hated the fact that it uses... Photos of people who weren't famous. It's perfectly all right to slap, you know, like, who's that guy from? Chris Pine or Uhura?
Star Trek, yeah.
Yeah, that, people are okay with that. They complain about it, but they still buy it. But if it's photos of people who aren't actors, like a Gottlieb from the 80s, people hate that. And we learned that the hard way. And that was one thing that Chuck was definitely wrong about. I was like, hey, let's show our art in July. He's like, no, let's wait for Expo. And so then at Expo, we had to make this mad rush to change it in like 2 weeks. And I wish we would have been wrong sooner. And so anyway, then we had people were like, oh, that back glass is much better. It's like, well, it's the same composition of the one you hated. It's just hand-drawn. And so, yeah, I had a local artist in Madison named Kevin Hill. He redid the back glass. And then the play field I did. I also did the cabinet art because it's pretty simple. Oh, there's Chuck. Yeah. Or a trophy. Sweet.
So you designed the game physically. You designed most of the artwork. And then do the artwork. The sound, you were the director of.
Yep.
Have there been many other pinball machines that have, you know, beyond a, you know, the one prototype we might see?
Oh, you
see
forgot
at a show?
The part where I created the board set.
And that's actually probably one of the
I don't know what I was thinking.
I'm impressed. It blows me away because when I think back to all the history of pinball, has there ever been a game produced on this scale that was so much kind of born out of one person doing all of it?
You'd have to ask someone at Williams that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty impressive.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
And the Pinball Circus guys are using our board. And the reason we don't really sell it yet is, the honest reason is because I'm too lazy to document everything. we'll sell it eventually. But we are using it on the next game, so yay.
So you want to talk about the next game? Because we just pitched you a game you can't buy, so. America's Most Haunted, it's awesome. You can't have one if you haven't already bought one. So.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be in the
But you'll get to play them in shows for years to come, I'm
so,
sure.
So, wait, let me ask you a question.
Oh, okay, sure.
So you have one of our games.
I do.
What is your favorite aspect of it? What do you like?
I like that there's lots of ways to play the game, and there's actually lots of ways to score in playing the game. It is so difficult. It's a hard game. Hardest game I've ever had a lot of time on by a long ways. What I like about the game is I can focus on just a couple different modes, and that will entertain me for a long time because it is difficult, and you find yourself sidetracking because you will accidentally maybe lock a ball or two, or you might accidentally get into photo hunt where you're like, okay, now I got to dial in and get, and that can be the whole game for you right there is trying to complete photo hunt. So that is for me in the home environment where I can literally just play the game over and over and over again. Even a game that I love. I love Twilight Zone. I love the theme. I love the art. It's like my favorite pinball machine of all time. I have America's Most Haunted sitting next to it, and I play America's Most Haunted much more.
Oh,
because
thanks.
I just can go back to these sort of difficult schemes. We haven't even talked about the fact that there's sort of this side route of the game, which is the minions. You have that three-bank drop target that you drop, and then you're shooting just that loop and trying to beat the ghosts.
That was actually added in, I don't want to say fairly late, but it was after all the main modes.
Yeah.
And I called it the dum-dum mode. It's basically, if you keep shooting this, something will happen mode. Every game has it.
Sure.
And we're like, okay, they're ghost minions. And then, yeah, we definitely started to build upon it. Like, oh, now you catch it in the loop. And then my favorite is the minion multi-ball. If you stack it with the elevator multi-ball, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. There's smart rules in the game, too. It's stuff that I see happen, and I'm like, oh, I'm glad somebody thought to do that. Like catching the ball, or a couple of the modes give you a second chance. Love that. If you lose the Dr. Ghost mode, your ball is caught there, and you're trying to release the ball.
That confuses a lot of people, but I'm glad you appreciate it.
I don't think it'll confuse people once they get it in the home and really
Yeah, because each mode, if you start a mode, you get one quick restart per player per game.
And in a couple of the modes, that restart is with the ball that was being held for the mode.
Yes, basically any mode that's holding a ball gives you the ball back. And if you can, well, with the Dr. Ghost, it'll give you the ball back. Like, here's your ball back, you wiener. And that's Dennis Dorman saying wiener. He just wanted to say wiener. He did. He's like, I want to say wiener. Anyway, so then if you get the ball back in the door in 5 seconds, it restarts the mode. Or in the ghost bar ghost, she's like, you get your balls back here in 5 seconds, honey.
So you got to reshoot the
loop. Yep. And if you don't, then you just go back into no mode and you have to readvance it.
Yep.
Other modes that don't have the quick restart, if you fail the mode,
it stays lit.
Yeah, when you get your ball back, it'll be lit. You can shoot it and restart it again. Because I know it is a hard game, and there's still tweaks I want to make to it. But I think it comes from, like, the video game, because, I like video games. There's a lot of video game mentality in it. And I think that kind of opens up a fresh avenue.
Talk about the video mode real quick. It was born on Pinside in the matter of a few hours.
I hate video modes.
And then you did one.
Yes. I think it was Oryk came up with the idea, wasn't it?
It could have been.
Flippy Ghost?
We tried to call him a second ago.
You tried to call him.
I did call him.
The that was when that Flappy Bird thing was really popular for like 3 seconds on YouTube.
Yeah.
And Oryk was like, so there was no video mode in the game, and I was dead set against one because I detest video modes. And people were like, you should put one in. I'm like, fine. If you guys can think of a mode, I'll put it in. And Oryk came up with Flippy Ghost. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I kind of like that. It's like a play on flippers and Flappy and whatever. And no one will know what the reference means in 3 minutes. But I liked it because the screen scrolls horizontally, so it uses the aspect ratio of the video display in a good fashion. And it's really tough if you're just using two buttons. Like you can move left and right, but you can't shoot. Or you could like shoot toast at a dog, but you can't change it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I think it's just be hitting the buttons causes you to float, and if you stop hitting them, you fall down, and the screen's always scrolling.
Yeah.
And then I had that zombie chasing you. That's just because, apparently zombies have to be in everything, so I put a zombie in it. I actually programmed that whole thing in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's cool. It's neat. It's really a game where all the little stuff's thought of.
And the last code update, there's an option to disable video mode, so you don't have to play it ever.
Has it been tough being so out there? And I guess I mean by out there, the whole development of this, after it was announced, you were sort of right there on Pinside saying, hey, tell me what you think, and getting hit with the criticism of maybe some of the artwork. He's taking a phone call in the middle of our seminar.
What? Are you kidding me?
No.
I'm sorry. I was looking at a text someone sent.
That's all right.
It's not from Oryk.
That's all right. I'll repeat the question. Has the criticism that you've just been sort of out there to take? I mean, you guys have been really just, hey, we're Spooky Pinball. Here's our game. What do you guys think? And everyone has their own opinion. What's that like sometimes when the real critical stuff comes in?
Well, probably the worst was when we were at Expo 2013 and everyone hated our art. They didn't complain about the game. They just hated our art. The only person who didn't hate it, I remember, was Roger Sharp. But we still changed it. And, I remember Chris from Cointrigger kept coming up. He's like, you got to change that art, man. You got to change that art. And, again, if more than one person tells you something sucks, then it sucks.
Yeah.
As far as that's concerned, that was probably the thing that I didn't really take it personally. It was more like, oh, great, how much time is it going to take to redo this? So that was probably the toughest part. As far as other things people complain about, I don't care. I don't see them building pinball machines.
Sure, absolutely. Second game. We have an announcement on the second game. It was announced last week. Rob Zombie's Spook Show International.
Yes.
It's. I know that's Rob Zombie's a big thing to Charlie. Something this is like definitely a dream theme for him. What's your involvement with the second game going to be like?
Well, so it is a retheme of his existing Zombies game.
Yep.
And I did make him change things on it. I'm like, Chuck, you should change blah, 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 blah. So I went over to shop. And I was like, give me that white wood. I was like, that's the sound of me ripping metal.
Ripping metal off of a board.
More like, yeah. That's probably one more sound.
Yeah.
So I don't think he probably doesn't want me to talk about it too much, but we made some better inner loops. We replaced the physical ball lock with a soft ball lock because it's actually a lot better for code to do that. And then we changed the geometry of the upper play field, blah, blah, blah. So I definitely help with that. As far as code is concerned, we do have a new guy working on that. He's writing it based off a new improved code base that I created So basically, the code in America's Most Wanted as a game, you know, great. I like a code. You like the code. Underneath, it's a mess.
Because it's all you, just sort of piling
over
on top
of it. Well, over like 2 years, it's terrible. So we cleaned that all up and made a new framework for games going forward. We actually made like basically a PinHack library in C. And also, you know, I'll probably be working on the polish and the audio-video stuff in the fall before Expo. I would assume that it will be at Expo.
So you'll sort of be in a consultant or supervisory sort of role on the technical side.
The thing is, you know, America's Most Haunted was very difficult to build, and it took a lot of time. So I was like, Chuck, I just can't do this for a while. I mean, it sounds awful, but it was like the little butterfly. Like, here you go. You know, work on your game. I'll you know, I'm here. I can help a little bit, but I mean, I would have loved to code it. I mean, I think it's going to be a smash hit game, but I just literally
seems like it already is. Seems like the reaction was ridiculously
how insane great. I am right now. Picture if I became more insane, and that's what would happen if I would have programmed that game.
Do you want to do another pinball machine from the ground up at some point?
Yeah, I at some point I will.
I mean, we joke about Bible Adventures. We joke about other
it's
things.
It's not a joke. I do it. I want to do it just to see what people say.
I think it could work.
I don't care. I can do whatever I want. I have to do it.
All right.
Either that or I'd love to do Futurama.
Futurama. That'd be cool.
And we did look into Army of Darkness, but it got... Yeah. Army of Darkness would be a grand slam home run, 3-point, what else? Hole in one, every other sports euthanism. But it kind of got too hot with the new show coming out.
Yeah.
Does that mean they
want a lot of money?
A double barrel ball launcher, right? And then the thing would be like a shotgun handle, and it could load in two balls for multi-ball, and then it'd be like, they come out.
That's pretty good.
And there'd
I like
be a lower
that.
Play field, just be the pit. And like, to the pit with him!
I like it.
And there's got to be a skeleton, right? Somewhere on the game.
See?
Oh, I did have some input. I mean, I had input. The guy from the House of a Thousand Corpses, like the fried chicken man.
Captain Spaulding. Yeah.
I was like, okay, if we have a Spaulding toy, he's got to have a cleaver and a bag of greasy chicken. He's got to have it in his hand, and there has to be a dark, greasy splotch on it so you know the chicken's in there.
So is that confirmed?
It's going to be in the game if I have that way with it.
Very
and
cool.
Also, you know, we have Alex Horley doing the art.
Yep.
And I did say I want a woman in a battle-damaged metal gold bikini.
Of course.
Holding a flaming sword, riding a giant hell rat.
That's not much to ask.
As long as that's in there, I'll be happy.
There's a few people out there just looking at the ceiling, not knowing what to think about. Sorry. So, what did you bring with you up here? Let's talk about this thing.
Oh, yeah.
This is pinball related. We can talk about this.
Yeah, so after the show, I'm headed down to Austin, or headed over to Austin. Yeah, since it's west of here. For a Freescale Semiconductor event. And
A what?
Freescale Semiconductor.
Okay.
Semiconductor.
Great.
And they wanted us to make something using one of their products, so we used ball trap. We used a Teensy to build a miniature pinball machine. And since it's in Texas, I chose the theme of space shuttles. It's a great theme for pinball.
Sure. So you can actually see him build this on the Ben Heck Show. I think it was a 2-episode series.
Yeah, we did it pretty quickly, actually, strangely enough.
Is there a market for something like this?
You tell me.
Yes.
Would that be cool?
Yeah. Yes.
How much? I don't think it. I think it had to be a little bit more than $1. Maybe $3.
$3.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. Zizzles were bigger than this.
Yeah. What do you think of the boutique pinball game today, 2015? We've seen the market. We've seen the rise and fall of Skitby. We've seen the apparent kind of implosion of Zidware. What are your thoughts? You're kind of in the middle
of it.
Do you
want my honest thoughts?
That's why we're here.
Are you sure?
That's why they paid all the good money to be in here.
Well, my absolute super honest thought, which I've obviously been giving all night, is that when you're giving people money to develop a game instead of build it, you're asking for trouble.
Yeah.
We develop everything out of our own pocket. All the licensing for Rob Zombie was done out of the profits from America's Most Haunted. America's Most Haunted was developed in my spare time, and Chuck in his spare time, and also once he started his business and didn't make much money at first. No new business does. If you're making money as a new business, you're doing it wrong. as bad as that sounds. So, yeah, I mean, we have to catch up at a certain point. You know, if I think about, okay, well, you know, if I get all my money on the back end for America's Most Haunted, and then if I make another game, it's like I never get ahead. So I basically, you know, if I keep doing it, I basically have to take the bullet of one game.
You mean this is business, this pinball thing?
It is. I think when you have a bunch of money sitting in the bank, you have no incentive to work very hard. And when that money only comes, like, yeah, I get a good chunk on America's Most Haunted, I'll be honest with you, but it's only when the game goes out the door. And when that's your catalyst, you work a lot harder. And that's, you know, that sounds rough, but it's the truth.
Is there anything else you'd like to address here tonight, Mr. Ben Hackett?
You asked.
I know. I love. No, I wanted that. That's good stuff. Is there anything else we'd like to go over here? The floor is yours.
We have 10 minutes. Are there any questions?
There you go.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we have a mic right here. He knows. He's like all over it.
I probably got myself in plenty of trouble already.
No.
I'm a longtime follower. I used to, like 10 years ago, I used to be on your forum. I'm not going to tell you my username. That'd be too embarrassing. I was like 13. But
actually, the creator of the Oculus Rift used to be on our forum, so it's not that embarrassing.
Huh.
Yeah, Palmer Lucky.
But yeah, I was wondering, after you've made this game and stuff, do you eventually just get so tired of it? Like, you just start playing it, you're like, oh,
I actually became really tired of it about 1 year before it was finished. I don't want one. Chuck's like, hey, you want us to build you one? I'm like, no, I never want to see it again. Are you referencing America's Most Haunted? Yeah, maybe after a year or so, I might want to play it. But yeah, I get that sick of it. And if you talk to a lot of designers, maybe not the programmers so much, but most designers, they never want to see it again.
Yeah, I know. Like, if you make something, you just see everything that's wrong with it. You don't see anything that's good about it.
Yeah, you can't step back and see the forest for the trees and appreciate it for what it is. Unless you wait about 10 years, and then you're like, oh, I did that back then. Yeah, so.
Very good question. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Good, because I'm lazy. I just had one question. You talk about this pinball construction stuff. I think it's really interesting. Do you have any experience playing, like, Bill Budge's pinball construction set from, like, EA a zillion years ago?
Oh.
Atari pinball. I don't know if any of that's...
I don't think I had that program, but I certainly remember reading about it in, like, what would have been Analog Computing or Byte or Antic. Because I was an 8-bit computer guy back in the day, yeah. But it was pinball construction set, right, from EA. Yeah, I remember it, but I never had it.
Okay. I remember it was a filthy lie. It's not that easy to tell.
No, pinball is harder than that.
Yeah, it's really... I didn't know... The reason I asked is I was just wondering, like, how much simulation are you able to do? Because I look at something like this,
oh,
as a developer myself, it's very difficult for me to, you know, understand...
Yeah, there are people who design games in virtual pinball and try that. We make an Italian bottom on a piece of, we basically make a wooden play field and we put an Italian bottom on it, which is your standard flippers and whatever. And then we literally, well, this is what I do. I take foam core, I stick it down, I hot glue it, I shoot it, I move it. I stick it down, I hot glue it, I shoot it, and we dial it in that way. And then we map that into a geometry with actual points. So at least I do it by hand. And if you ask a lot of the old-time designers about it, they were all into foam core, so much that I believe Steve Ritchie called it Nordmanite because Dennis Nordman was the, you know, the foam core pioneer.
There is an example, though, Wrath of Olympus. That was designed in virtual pinball.
Yes, it was.
And then he built that. And he will tell you that thing flipped great. He was shocked how little he had to change from his original virtual pinball design.
I think one issue that you might have with that is you might put a little bit too much in because it's virtual, and then it was more costly in reality. But, you know,
Have you thought about making a virtual version from there?
It's a great question.
Someone online actually made a future pinball version of Bill Paxson pinball. I just gave him all the files on like a hard drive, and he did a really good job of it. I don't think he ever actually played the real thing. As far as doing a virtual version, you know, if anyone would be interested, I would, you know, definitely hook them up with the files. I really wouldn't want to take the time to really give them much hands-on stuff. It'll be like, you know, here's how you learn how to swim. Woo, have fun.
Who here are pinball arcade customers? Farsight Pinball Arcade customers? No. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking they should tackle
We've
that
We've actually talked to them and Zen, but nothing's really happened yet. So, yeah. I don't know. I use computers all the time. I mean, like, I'm a total 80s computer kid, but I still think doing it in reality, you never know. Like, even when I do designs with 3D prints, you never know until you have it in your hand. You're like, okay, now I know.
Absolutely. Any other questions? Yes, sir. This man is not lazy. Less, I understand. That's good.
Think of a voice.
Ben, thanks for the beer, by the way.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Tell me about your time management skills. I mean, are you type A? No. How do you get so much done? I mean,
are you trolling Ben from the microphone right now?
I've seen his show on Element 14. I've seen basically.
Well, I'm not married. That helps.
Okay. You know, I was going to type A, don't sleep, or not married. I'm not sure.
No, I do sleep. I actually sleep every night.
Well, now I'm completely lost. I have no idea how you do it. But, I mean, you seem to get so much done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it might seem that way, but, you know, America's Most Haunted, we spent, oh gosh, like 2 years on before it actually started shipping, and then I'm still tweaking the code. It's never done. So even if I make it look easy, that doesn't mean it is easy, at least for me. It's pretty difficult. I would say the big thing, if you're getting into a project and you want to start something, the big thing to do is it's really easy to start a project. It's really tough to finish one. So it's just the drive to get past the finish line. And with the America's Most Haunted, you know, Chuck's like, oh, by the way, I started a new business and we're going to make your game. And, you know, my whole family's future is riding on you. Have fun. I'm like, it's like, well, I guess I better get it done. But you know what? That's a good carrot to chase, you know? I mean, again, some of this, other people could use that kind of inspiration. That was my political answer or comment as far as other boutiques. I don't know. It's just all it takes. I saw this Nike t-shirt back in the 90s once. You know, when there's like the Nike No Fear. And it was like, all it takes is all you've got. And that applies to this kind of stuff. It's a lot of work.
I believe it. Other questions we can get answered for you guys? Ben's going to sign autographs and kind of do a little meet and greet afterwards for the next few minutes. We're going to go out into the lobby and do that. So play America's Most Haunted when you get a chance to see it. It's a fantastic game. Come say hi to Ben.
And buy Rob Zombie.
And buy Rob Zombie's Spook Show International. Let's give Ben a round of applause. Thank you guys very much.
Awesome. Thank you guys.